Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy. I'm pleased to bring to you the second and third Mishnah of the second chapter of Masachet Bava Metzia, Mishnayot 2 and 3. The previous Mishnah dealt with items that were found which did not have to be publicized, that is, essentially finders keepers, because there was no discernible feature about the item, and therefore one can assume that the owner lost all hope once it fell out of his pocket, or whatever the situation might be. Well, the second Mishnah describes found items that one must publicly advertise, because either they have a distinguishable feature, a siman in and of themselves, or there is something discernible and unique, I don't know about unique, but distinguishable about the way they were left behind. So, matzah perot bichli, if one found fruit in a vessel, meaning not scattered around, but in a vessel with a identifiable characteristic about it, o kli kamochu, or even an empty vessel, if that vessel has a characteristic, then therefore the owner has some expectation to get it back. One cannot assume that the owner has made it hefker, that is, has given up all possession over it. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us that it must be returned. Ma'ot bekis, or, sorry, not returned, but announced so that potentially the owner, the original owner, may be able to find it. Ma'ot bekis o kis kimochu, if you found money in a wallet, or a wallet as it is, again, the pouch has some kind of identifiable characteristic about it. Now, money itself does not have any identifiable characteristics. They, you know, it's all the same. That probably wouldn't include like a dollar bill with some kind of stamp on it that says this belongs to somebody. But we were essentially talking about coins, and they were all pretty much stamped in the same way, and therefore there's no identifiable characteristic in and of themselves. However, if they're found in a wallet and the wallet has an identifiable characteristic, or an empty wallet as is, then those items would have, because there's a characteristic, then one who finds them must announce the item in hopes that the owner may come back and find it. Tzibore, tzibure perot, tzibure ma'ot, shloshamet matbeot ze al gav ze. So, if you have a heap of fruit, that is, if the fruit is in a canister which is identifiable, then the item itself is identifiable. But if the fruit is arranged in a heap, let's say, I don't know, eight oranges with five oranges on top of that and three oranges and then an orange on the top, so therefore the heap itself, the way that it was laid out or left behind, is itself identifiable. Or a heap of coins, or three or more coins stacked one on top of the other. In all those cases, because the way they were left behind has a characteristic about it which the owner could potentially come and say, oh yeah, I left my oranges in a four-level stack with the nicest orange on the top or whatever it is. So therefore, one must announce the found item and give a chance for the owner to come and get it. Krichot bereshut hayachid, v'kikarot shel baal habayit, v'gizei tzemer halakuchot mibein ha'uman, in most of these cases are sort of the opposite items that we saw in the first Mishnah, where one can play finders keepers. So we have wheat, sheaves of wheat that are tied up, but they're in somebody's private property, which means they're not bound to get trounced on, and they have a distinguishing characteristic either about their location or about the fact that there weren't a lot of people running back and forth leaving behind these little little bound wheat stacks. Also, non-commercial loaves of bread, which are recognizable. That is, if you buy Wonder bread or Arnold bread, I'm not even sure Wonder is kosher, but if you buy Arnold bread or some other kosher bread, well, there's no way to tell one person's bread for another. But if somebody bakes bread in private, then they may bake it in such a way where it has some kind of symbol or perhaps shape which would identify the owner. Fleeces of wool from an artisan, as opposed to fleeces of wool that come from an exporter where they all look the same. If the fleece of wool came from an artisan, then one can look for a distinct, then one could identify that it's cut a certain way, shaped a certain way, has some kind of bangles on it, who knows, but it may have a characteristic which can then be identified by the person who lost it. Jugs of wine or jugs of oil, the jugs themselves are identifiable. All of these require one who finds them to publicly advertise them in an attempt to find the owner. They are not finders keepers. And now we go on to Mishnah Gimel. And Mishnah Gimel, the third Mishnah, is unique. That is, the first Mishnah talked about things which have no identifiable characteristics, but were significant enough that if the owner lost them, they would say, oh, there's no way I'm going to get that back, because, you know, it goes through a process called Yiyush, and therefore they become finders keepers. They go into the public domain. In the second Mishnah, all of the items either had a distinguishable characteristic about the item, or about the container of the item, or about the way the item was left behind in a stack, in a heap, or some such, and therefore the items were definitely not, the owner did not give up hope on them, and therefore one must announce the item in the hope that the owner will come and find them. In the third Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't really discuss the issue so much of whether it has distinguishing characteristics. But the question really is, what about the location where the item was found? Is the location the kind of place where the owner has an expectation to come and find it there in that location? Or is the location such that the owner has no hope of finding it, and that it was simply, and therefore has somehow passed into public domain, that the owner would have yush, or that the owner no longer could even be identified or can even exist, and therefore the item becomes public domain and finders keepers. Now, as we will see, we'll be able to infer in some of these characteristics, in some of these cases, that there is identifiable characteristic, or that there's not an identifiable characteristic. Nonetheless, it's really the location which is of primary importance here, rather than whether it has a specific location about the item itself. Mishnah 3, by the way, is a great example where the Mishnah simply does not provide enough information. You could sense it as we go through the Mishnah. And therefore, there's a whole bunch of Talmudic discussion which comes and clarifies, sets limitations, defines specific situations. But as I've mentioned before, that's really beyond the scope of a Mishnah shiur, a Mishnah lesson. So occasionally I'll hint to some of those Talmudic discussions, but many things will simply have to be left for further analysis. Matzah achar hagapa or achar hagader goes alot mekusharin. So if one finds tied chickadees, that is chicks that have been tied together, sort of bound together by the wings, on the far side of a gate or a stone fence, sort of kind of tucked at the bottom, like you might leave something if you were perhaps hoping to be able to come to it at a later time, o bishvilin shebsadot, or in sort of out of the way paths in the fields, Harizel lo yigavahen. One should not touch them at all. That is, it's not a question of whether you could keep it or whether you should pick it up and announce it. You should just leave the item completely alone. And that is because that the Thai chicks themselves have no identifiable characteristic. If they did, then you could pick them up and say, hey, I found 85 chicks tied with special red string with the initials EL on it. But since the normal tied string chicks that are tied up have no identifiable characteristics, And therefore, theoretically, it should be finders keepers. However, because the item was placed in sort of an out-of-the-way location, then one has to assume that somebody put it there specifically for safekeeping, hoping to be able to find it later. And if you remove those items, there's no way for the original owner to get it back, and therefore, you've essentially taken away the ability of a person to get back their material. Matzat kli ba'ashpa im mechuseh lo yigabo. Im migula notel umachris. So, if you found a kli, any kind of utensil, in an ashpa, and the ashpa is covered, I'm not going to translate ashpa for a second, but I will get back to it shortly, fear not. So, if the ashpa is covered, don't touch it at all. But if the ashpa is covered, then you can pick it up and shout about it, and you can advertise it. Now, here we're specifically talking about an item with an identifier, with an identifiable characteristic, and you'll see why this case is special. Now, modern Hebrew, an ashpa is essentially a garbage can, and while that may be the sense here, in fact, ashpa could really mean any can that can be covered. In Tanakh, ashpa actually refers to a quiver where arrows are stored. And as I said, it's clear that this item has an identifiable characteristic. Otherwise, in the case where it's an open can, you wouldn't be required to make a public announcement at all. It wouldn't be possible, and it would be finders keepers. So the question is, why not make an announcement if the ashpa is closed? That is, if the ashpa is open, I pick it up and I say, oh, who lost a cup with the initials EL on it, or who lost 8 cups stacked in a row. But if it does have an identifiable characteristic and it's in a closed ashpa and it's in a closed can, then why not pick it up and do the same thing? And the clever answer is because it's not lost in the first place. That is, when you put it behind a fence, then it's really still losable because it's not the safest place in the world. But if you put it in an ashpa, if you put it in a can, and the guy covered the can, then he clearly knows where he put it. He clearly covered the can in order to keep it safe, and therefore the laws of Hashavat Avedah don't apply, since Hashavat Avedah only apply to where the item can theoretically be lost. But if it's put in a safe, so to speak, and I realize the safe is an exaggeration because here we're talking about a can, and the Talmud mentions that this can is not a can which is regularly opened and closed and the items in it shuffled around. This is kind of a can where you put it, you close it, and you leave it alone. So a public garbage probably would not be what this is talking about. So if the can was closed, then what would happen was that if you took it out, while it's true that it has a siman, it has a recognizable characteristic about it, and the owner would probably be able to find it, what you've done is you've caused him to run after something that he didn't have to run after in the first place, since the item was not lost. However, if the can was open, then that sort of puts us back into the realm of putting things behind a fence or behind or at the bottom of a gate. There, yes, it's probable nobody will pick it up. However, since the can was open, it's also possible somebody will say, hey, what a nice wallet. And therefore, the item really does sort of fall into the laws of Hashavat Avedah. If it has a siman, then you should pick it up and make a call about it as if it is lost. Matza begal uvekotel yashan, Hare Elu Shalo. Now, this is another situation where you find stuff that could have been put there for safekeeping, but it's a little bit iffy. So the situation is if you found something in a mound of stones, a gal is a big mound of stones, or in a kotel yashan, which is a very old wall, an old wall, then the item becomes finders keepers. And the reason why that is because since it's so old, it's at the bottom of this big pile of stones, or it's the very bottom of this big kind of overrun gate. There's a commentary that it actually has, the Talmud discusses that it actually has to have signs of age. So therefore, even if there is an identifiable characteristic, a siman, it might not, it may be so old that you can't even guarantee it belongs to a Jewish person, and therefore there is no mandatory requirement of Bahashavat Avedah. If something is that old and that been sitting there for such a long time, so therefore that means it really has to be buried very deep, or it has to have other signs of rust or age. In that case, one does not have to, there is no law of Hashavat Avedah to return lost items, and essentially it is a case of finders keepers. However, matzava kotel chadash, what if you found the item not in an aged wall, but in a rather new wall, which means it must have been placed there reasonably, not too long ago. So, the following condition takes place. Michetzio v'lachutz shalo. Michetzio v'lefnim shabal abayitz. The two possibilities. If it's on the outside half of the wall, and the way you have to think of a wall here is like a rock wall. If you've ever gone to Israel and some of the more agricultural areas, especially in the West Bank where there's a lot of terrace farming going on. So what happens is these walls are made out of piles and piles of rocks for height, as well as quite a few layers of stones for depth, sort of placed one on top of the other and beside each other as well. So therefore, it's possible that when the item was tucked into the wall, there's two possibilities. If it's on the outside half of the layers, then it's finders keepers, because there's no way, assuming that there is no identifiable characteristic, if there is an identifiable characteristic and it's put in there relatively recently, then you treat it like any other Hashavat Avedah. You have to be machris, you have to call out. However, if it has no characteristics and it's on the outside of a wall, then one has to assume that the owner who put it there, he didn't put it in a can that has a nice safe closing. He didn't tuck it sort of underneath a wall or behind a fence where he's likely to find it. He stuck it into the middle of the wall, and because it has no sign and it's on the outside, who could really know how many people walk by that wall, and therefore the owner probably figures, oh man, I forgot it on that wall, I'm going to go back there, there's no way it's still going to be there. I mean, it would be sort of like parking your car and leaving your wallet on the roof of a car. I mean, the chances of it still being there are unlikely, or so the owner thinks, and therefore he goes through what's called yi'ush, which is he abandons hope of ever retaining the item, and therefore if the item has no recognizable characteristic, it's finders keepers. However, if the item was found in a new wall on the inside, that is towards the owner of that property, then of course belongs to the current owner of the house. Now in all these cases, that's where you really can't tell which side the item was inserted from. However, if you could tell which side of the wall the item was inserted from, if it's on the outside or the inside, for instance, let's say it's a knife, and the knife handle is facing the outside, well, again, we're assuming that it may be a very sharp knife, so you're not going to stick it in from the knife part because you'll cut your hand. You'll only stick it in from the handle part. So if the handle is sticking out towards the to the public area, the outside of the wall, then it becomes free material, assuming there's no sign on the knife itself and it's finders keepers. If the knife handle is sticking towards the inside, even if you find it further towards the outside, it's clear that it was stuck in there from the owner's side, and the owner would take possession of that item. It does not become finders keepers. New case, what about imhaya maskiro la'achirim afilu b'tocha bayit hari elu shelo? So what if a person was renting out his house? That is, this is a rental property, and you are now in the rental property, and you find an item in that rental property. And we're not talking about in the wall of the rental property, but we're talking about inside the house itself. Who does it belong to? So the answer, according to the Mishnah, is hari elu shelo, it belongs to you. Now that immediately begs commentary from the Gemara, and the Gemara jumps all over it. I mean, obviously, if this is the first time the guy's rented the house, and you find a diamond in the house, then it's obviously going to belong to the owner of the house. Who else would it belong to? So what's clarified here is that what the situation here is that this is the owner has turned this into a hotel, what's called a pundak, a place where a lot of people come and stay. In fact, plenty of non-Jews come and stay. And again, because they are non-Jews, the Hashavat Eveda rules do not apply. If that's true, even if the item had an identifiable characteristic on it, a siman on it, since there is a majority of non-Jews staying, one is not required to return the item. But as I said before in previous Mishnayot, there's of course no reason why one can't try to return items to non-Jews. Simply, one is not required by law to do so.